The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Good morning. Welcome to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM Pittsfield Community Radio. Also listening to us on 88.1 WSBR in Lee and watching us on channel 1301 Access Pittsfield and then the PCTV Select app. Glad to have you on board this morning. It is Thursday, November 6th already, and here we are live and local in our WTBR studio this morning. Always happy to have all of our listeners and viewers along for the ride. Got a great show for you today. The original, the only, Bill Sturgeon joins us here live in the studio this morning, and we'll be talking about our upcoming Radiothon fundraiser that's happening for the radio station, and then also maybe just a little bit of an election recap. We'll be talking about what we saw Tuesday night in the big municipal election. We've got coming up a Veterans Day. We'll be talking to Bill about that and all kinds of good stuff. So stick around. We'll be right back after we do the weather forecast, and let's see what the National Weather Service has in store for us today. Here we go.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Wind advisory in effect until 8 a.m. EST this morning. Today, partly sunny. A slight chance of rain and snow showers this morning. Highs in the mid-40s. Northwest wind 15 to 20 miles per hour with gusts up to 40 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation 20%. Tonight, mostly clear in the evening, then becoming partly cloudy. Cold with lows in the mid-20s. West wind 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 25 miles per hour, becoming southwest around 5 miles per hour after midnight. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
Yeah, I had heard yesterday that the wind warning that came through, that was for, I think they were talking as much as 60, 65 miles per hour. I don't know if we got any of that overnight or not. It didn't seem like it. I had a couple of my toters get knocked over. I heard those around 10 or 11 o'clock at night just clunk. But that was about all. I was expecting maybe we'd have some power outages today or some trees down or something. I haven't heard any reports of that so far. So that's good. We maybe dodged the bullet there, but it's been getting windy. Have you noticed that? It's been a lot more windy than
exactly.
It has been.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. More wind than I can ever remember as a kid.
Yeah.
I did see there was a limb stuck late yesterday afternoon. Hmm. A fairly good size limb, but when it fell. And it was stuck right in the ground. So,
The power companies have been doing a lot of work over the last few years, trimming those trees taking out trees along major power line routes and things. You see a lot of that, which is probably a good preventative measure.
Yeah. And when you think about it, too, we've seen so many weather changes.
Mm.
I thought last winter was depressing. With the cold and the wind and the ice.
Yeah, and a lot of ice.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting to see what happens this year if we get any change from that. I kind of feel like we could get a good snowy winter. I don't know. I just have a feeling about it. I could be completely wrong.
Well,
I don't have any more.
You didn't read the Farmer's Almanac? God rest his soul, my father, that was the Bible to him.
Maybe have had something there.
Yeah.
It's been weird. But we'll see. It's just starting into winter months now.
Yeah.
We just had a time change this last weekend. So, getting up, it's a little lighter out. But, 5 o'clock, it's midnight.
Yeah. We had that meeting the other day here. And going home, I said, it's pitch black dark.
Yeah. creeps up on you quick, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I got a quick announcement here to read, Bill, and this will go into what we're going to talk about this first half hour. 89.7 WTBR-FM is proud to announce our 7th annual one-day on-air fundraiser. The event will take place on Thursday, November 20th from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. And don't miss our guests, including local dignitaries and your friends and neighbors from the community. There will be plenty of incentives you can win, including restaurant gift certificates, tickets to local cultural attractions, and much more. And you can make your donation to the Rock Box right now at WTBRFM.com. It is open. You can go there. It's right on the front page, and you make your donation. Don't miss the 7th annual One Day On Air Fundraiser Live, 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Thursday, November 20th, only right here on 89.7 WTBR FM, and also all day live on the WTBR Facebook page. So there you go.
Cool.
That is the
That's
big.
That's good.
That leads us into our discussion. So why is it we do a radiothon here at WTBR FM?
And people have heard me say this, and I believe it with all my heart. We truly try to serve our middle name, community. We are Pittsfield Community Television. We are Pittsfield Community Radio.
Yeah.
And I wander back, literally wander, back to the days during COVID when is me saintly Irish mother used to say, God rest her soul, an ill wind blows some good fate. Well, the ill wind was COVID, and we all suffered through that. But in a way, it helped us as a new station launch. We became, I can't tell you the number of people who said to me, oh, I go to listen to WTBR for the, or I watch PCTV with the mayors on. I don't think we missed a step.
Mm. And we had just recently, you know, transferred the station over, built a new transmitter, new antenna facility. I mean, that was a long process. We were actually on the air for almost the whole first year as a low power. People may not have realized that because, you know, you can tell on the fringes, but right in downtown Pittsfield and in surrounding areas, it didn't probably sound very, very different.
Right.
And then we finally got back up to full power near the end of 2019, and then what happened a couple months later, everything shuts down. You know, but WTBR did not shut down.
Yeah.
We continued on, and we kept the programming going, and we brought some really important information out for people that were stuck in their houses for months. I remember being stuck.
Well, and I want to thank you and Dave and all the techies here, but they don't consider me a techie here. In fact, they make me wear mittens when I sit behind where Sean is so I don't touch the wrong button.
In the industry, we call you the talent.
Yeah. Well, I'm neither. But anyhow, what they did is they provided for me. I don't know if people know. I haven't made it general public. But I have a lung disease that was caused from my exposure to Agent Orange in Vietnam. And my doctors from Boston called me, told me don't go out of the house because they didn't know what it was initially.
Oh, can you imagine? Right.
And anyhow, so we arranged with the help of all the people here to have me do Zoom interviews from home. And I pretty much stay with that now because my condition isn't getting better. We'll leave it at that. But we blossomed after that. It's a station. I mean, we have underwriters. We have all the people on the shows now compared to when we took it over. Daytime's almost full.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's a funny thing about radio and technology these days where, you know, a lot of people still have a concept of radio with sort of like what we're doing this morning, you know, sitting across the table from each other and having a mic in front of us and being on live radio, which is still fantastic, right? I mean, that alone is just a great thing that we're able to do, and it's alive and it's sort of a fun, you know, exciting thing. But it isn't the only way that you can do radio. And so the technology allows you to do home studios, which, you know, years back you couldn't do.
Right.
You could transmit the recorded file, into an automation system. It can be scheduled. It can be played as if it were, you know,
somebody was here
in the studio. Right. And so, but that really has allowed a community radio station like this to blossom exactly the way you said, so that you can fit around other people's schedules. Now, everyone who is here and does a program here is a volunteer. They do it because they have a passion for what they're doing, for the radio, for what they're talking about, what music they're playing, whatever it is. But they have lives. They have work schedules. They have things they have to work around. They can't be here during 9 to 5 business hours. So we work it out so that it works for them, and their programs go on when they go on, you know, and that's fantastic. Other radio stations do other things.
Yeah.
You know, there are things that, as we know, other radio stations are programmed remotely by satellite from somewhere else in the country.
In the country, yeah.
You know, we don't do that. We're all local. Everybody that you hear here.
We're all community.
With a couple exceptions,
this
are
community.
Local. Right.
You
and,
know,
and it's such a wide variety of programming, too. Everything from talk, like we're doing this morning, and people tune in and listen to the Morning Drive show. We appreciate they do that.
Yeah, I certainly do.
Getting, you know, the information, and we'll talk about the election and the stuff that we did for that.
Yeah.
You know, all the way up to jazz and polka music and heavy metal and oldies and Spanish language music.
Why did you
look
at me when you said oldies?
I did not.
Just because you got people behind you are no longer with us.
That's, that's very possible, yes. But it's you know, it really shows that you can you can make a small, what we call hyper-local station work, right?
Yep.
And that's a kind of a newish word. People know what it means, but it really means that we focus just on this field, on this area. And and our friends in Lee and Lenox and Stockbridge, now that we're broadcasting in a second place, we're expanding into different parts of the county. We're serving those areas. It's very, very important.
And the other piece, too, is we're streaming.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a variety of other for people that want to get us and don't have Spectrum or whatever, that streaming, you can sign on through the web and listen and get older shows, shows you may have missed.
Yeah.
And it, to me, we this isn't the basic roots of Taconic High School radio will always be there.
Mm.
But this is, and I don't want to embarrass you, but through your, through your vision, and I said this yesterday, in fact, on LinkedIn, through your vision and the ability of the staff, Dave Cachet, Dave Wyatt, Jeff, everybody, Jody, yourself, this is a story I always tell when Sean has me on with him. So one day I come in the station. We kind of underestimated how long it would take to move from the old Taconic.
Yeah.
Anyhow, so I come in and I said, "Where's Sean?" They said, "He's in the studio." So I looked all around, and then all of a sudden I looked down and here are these two shoes sticking out from under the console. Sean, yep. Perry's wiring underneath. I said, "Well, if your feet don't start trembling, I know you didn't touch the wrong wire." But
occupational hazard.
Yeah. But really and truly, what a difference! I would say we've matured.
Mm. Well, you know, it's amazing. We talked about all those things even in the first year anniversary that we're here and remembering back, and that's in the rearview mirror so far now. It's almost hard to remember, but. That's how much this station, as you said, has matured.
Yeah.
Just being here and changing from a school-based, student-based radio station, which in the early days, and we have lots of evidence of that in the vinyl library that we brought over with us, those records tell a story of some really, really involved students and teachers and people that would, you know, were passionate about putting a high school radio station on the air. And over the years, that morphed and changed. And then they were off the air for a little while, and it came back. And, you know, but a rebirth, if you will, as a community radio station that can serve the entire population and be there as a resource for people. They turn on their cars, they tune in the radio, and it's there. It's something that people still do.
Yeah.
But it's not the only way, as you mentioned, that you can listen to it. The web stream is something, you know, if you're if you like WTBR and you go outside the area, you can tune it in on your phone. You can connect it up to your car radio and listen to it as long as you'd like to. The web stream is very dependable. People who like podcasts, individual shows have podcasts, and you can subscribe to that and listen to it that way. You know, podcasting as an industry obviously has just blown up, right?
It's made a president.
It's really, how about it? It's really one of the biggest media presences of all types of media right now. It's not traditional media.
No.
It's not the sort of mainstream media news or anything like that. So, you know, your mileage may vary. You're right. Listening mostly to opinion, things like that on podcasts. You're again, if we're hyper-local as a radio station, that's a hyper-focused type of a thing. You have a podcast on every niche, topic that's out there, and that's what people are into.
Yeah.
So, you know, we also provide that. If you go to WTBRFM.com, you can check out our podcast, subscribe to those.
Cool. And YouTube, too, right?
We don't do a lot on YouTube.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I checked it one time and something came up.
We do have some things, some of our short videos and things like on PCTV. But mainly on the PCTV side, the website really supplies all of the video on demand content. And so if you go to PittsfieldTV.org, that is your best resource there for that. And you can, go back. We've got, I think, 20-something thousand programs that we've been uploading. And, some of them are quite old. We found some.
Light up on that old stuff.
We found some videos from the late 80s and early 90s that were still stored on Super VHS tape. And we were able to convert those and put those on demand so people could find them. Unfortunately, in those days, videotapes were expensive. And you bought so many. And you only had a budget for it. And you kept the things that you really thought were, you needed to keep for archive purposes. And regular things like city council meetings, school committee meetings. The tape was kept for maybe a month until it played out and the next meeting was recorded, and then you'd record over it. So a lot of those early programs were lost for economic reasons, really. But some of them survived, and we've got some of that up on our video on demand. And then, of course, from about the year 2000 or so on, almost everything that we did was somehow preserved.
Wow.
Yeah.
And, talking just not to diverge off the topic, but we had a great election coverage. I think we'd be remiss if we didn't thank Dave Cachet for heading this up, lining all the people up for debates, helping me, and that's almost like a full-time position, helping me line up my radio interviews and television interviews with the candidates. But I want to say to the candidates, thank you for running, first of all. And no one lost. I don't like to hear that. Some people prevailed and were elected. But we all are better off that all of you ran. And congratulations to the winners.
It's really important, too, because if you think about it, if you all you had was the same counselors and the same school committee folks every single time, and nobody else ran until a seat was open, that would be a pretty stale government, right? You need people with new ideas that come in and challenge the existing establishment and say, "I've got a better way to do this," right?
Yeah.
And I'm just speaking in very general terms.
Sure.
That means you have a healthy democracy at the local level. You've got new things, and then the voters can come in and decide.
Yeah.
And they can say, "Well, I think that person's ideas are correct. I'm going to." Most people are going to vote for that, or no, I reject those ideas, and I'm going to stay with what we've got. And this year, I think that's exactly what happened. We got some new, certainly the school committee, lot of new faces there.
Yeah,
we had 9 people running for 6 seats, which unfortunately for Pittsfield is unusual.
Yeah,
a lot of times it's 6 for 6. So this time we had choices, right? That's a big deal. And credit to the people who put their names out there and ran a campaign and discussed the issues, went to the debates.
And don't be discouraged if you didn't prevail this time. Don't say one and out, because if your desire is to serve the city of Pittsfield, then please throw your hat in the ring again. Somebody asked me, you'll get a kick out of this, Sean. Somebody said, "Hey, why don't you run for school committee?" I looked at him and said, "I'm 78 years old. I got a bad disease. I don't run for things. I run from things." But I was so happy. Every person that I interviewed, all but one of the candidates, which thanks to Dave Cache, I thought I was going to be checking out for a while. But
it's
really,
it's a big effort.
Oh, it's
if people
a huge,
don't
that,
understand.
Oh, and the debates
to try and coordinate it all.
And then he, the coverage. We had to be first out, I think, for coverage.
Yeah.
But the thank you for running. These are tough times, and they could get tougher.
Yeah.
And we need people who put the city and the citizens first. And that's I think we got them. Yeah. I interviewed all the folks. We got a wonderful crew.
Yeah.
And I'm glad Dan Elias got reelected because he's the only institutional memory left. It's like my memory, it's gone.
Yeah. And, of course, Kathy Yan was reelected as well.
Kathy, yeah.
So she'll bring some institutional knowledge to the school committee.
Yeah, yeah.
And, by the way, you're listening to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio, and 88.1 WSBR in Lee. Bill Sturgeon is my guest here this morning, or maybe I'm his guest on the Morning Drive show. You can call it either way.
We're partners. We have been partners in this endeavor since we decided to do it.
That's true. That's true.
Think about it. I mean,
try and keep a consistent program going. It's not easy.
The wonderful, beautiful person, Bob Burke. Mm. For those of the older, will remember Bob from PCTV radio and commercial stations.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And
heck of a good radio voice, too,
oh,
Bob Burke.
Oh, what a great.
Still hear it in my head.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But Bob told me when I first got in the radio, he said, let's remember, here's what radio's about. Consistency and content.
Mm.
And when you tell them what you told them. tell them what you told them, and then follow up and tell them again.
Yeah.
Because people are driving their cars. They're trying to get their kids eat their breakfast.
Yep.
So,
in a program like this where we're on for a whole hour.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be great if somebody was listening to the whole hour. I really would like to meet some of those people that do that, and we appreciate it. But there's probably also a lot of people on their way to somewhere.
Exactly.
They're getting 10 minutes
it's
of the
morning
show.
Morning drive.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, we get them a little something interesting to listen to while they're there, something they can take with them for the rest of the day. Maybe listen to a perspective they didn't know.
Yeah.
Listen to an elected official or someone from the arts community or maybe a police chief or, you know.
DA.
DA.
The DA is on every month.
Mm-hmm.
Congressman Neal is on just about every, unless he gets tied up down there in Sillyville.
That's a huge public service, too, by the way, is to bring your congressman on a small little radio station like this.
I know.
But all of Pittsfield benefits from hearing what he has
does.
To say. And, you know, otherwise you're only going to hear little snippets of it on the national news.
And
you
twist,
might say,
ooh,
that's our congressman. What did he say?
Yeah.
I don't know. He said about a half a sentence and then he moved on to something else.
And then a reporter just retold you what he said, but it didn't sound the same. my goal has always been to serve this community in a positive light. Now, do I know everything isn't peaches and cream? Well, of course. Mm-hmm. But I've been all over the world, and I've never lived or been in a place where it was all peaches and cream.
Yeah.
And I think for too often, this is a personal opinion, and let me say, this is my opinion. And the views and opinions expressed on this program are mine and those of my guests. They in no way represent Sean or me. or they do represent. But anyhow, I just really wanted to promote the goodness of Pittsfield. And and too often I don't think Pittsfield does that. They beat themselves up.
Yeah. Well, and there's always negative headlines. Those propagate the fastest, by the way, as we see on social media. Anytime you look on social media, the things that drive people's engagement on social media are the negative things, right?
Yeah.
They're the things that get around the quickest, unfortunately. And, you know, it's important to know those things, too, but it's also important not to be dominated by them, right? To only be into that death spiral of really, really bad news. There's a lot of bad news. I saw a comparison the other day of, you know, the things that people die from on one column.
Yeah.
and then the things that are reported in media in the other column. And this is absolutely true. And, you know, like terrorism and homicide and, you know, all the really bad things are huge chunks of what the media reports on. And, you know, the number one thing people die of is heart disease.
Right. Yeah.
But, you know, but it's only covered, you know, 0.7% of the time in the media.
Yeah.
Okay. Because why? Because it isn't, you know, dog bites man. Well, it's man bites dog. Right.
Yeah.
That's
what
the
if
old
it
news
bleeds,
stuff.
It leads.
And it bleeds, it leads. And that's local television news, you know, in a sentence for sure.
And we try to promote all community, not for profits. We actually do a thing once a year where they come in and make a commercial, not for profits.
Yeah,
about
PSA
themselves.
Days.
PSA, I'm
right,
sorry.
Right.
And we are community. Look at the we have the Irish hour. We have the polka. We have in Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
The other day, believe it or not, I was in my new recliner brought to me by the big boss. And I watched I didn't understand a word they were saying, but they delivered. They captured me to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you for folks for doing that show.
Did you happen to have the captions on when you were watching?
Yeah.
So that's an interesting thing right now that we have closed captioning for many, not all, but many programs that are seen on PCTV channels. That particular program, it's called Pildorama, which is a radio show here on WTBR-FM, and it's also a simulcast on the PCTV channel. You can watch it on PCTV Select on the website. And, but if you turn on the closed captioning, the CC button, you'll get a translation in English.
Yeah.
So all the rest of our programs are closed captioned in English.
I found that halfway through.
And translated in Spanish. That show is the opposite. It's closed captioned in Spanish, translated in English. So everyone in the community, whether
isn't
you speak
great?
Either one of those two languages, you can enjoy and find that show interesting.
And we do that. And a lot of it here, and I don't think we give enough credit to Sean and the entire team here. I've worked in a lot of places, and I'll tell you, one thing we do not have here, clock watchers. These, you can come in here and find people early in the morning before their shift or grabbing stuff to run out to do a shoot at a school. And that's what makes this community.
Mm.
You know, I try to run a week before every semester at Berkshire Community College to have the Berkshire BCC send their people, and we interview them about the... And I love telling this story because a friend of mine's, he's passed now, but his kid was wanted to go to RPI or Worcester Tech. Mm. And I had the fellows on from BCC Engineering.
Mm.
And he saw it and heard it. And he said, I never knew that. I went to BCC. They didn't have engineering. I said, well, I went to BCC too, but my classmate was Methuselah. but seriously... So the kid went there he's an engineer today.
Hmm.
Then I think he went to Worcester Polytech.
Mm-hmm.
But he said the education he got there prepared him for.
Sure.
You know, and what
it's a great place
compliment.
To start.
Yeah.
Yep. And BCC provides so many different things to either propel you into the education that you'll get and then a career you'll get, or you know, returning students that are coming and maybe changing careers or midlife. Or whatever, all kinds of stuff that BCC does.
They call them, and it fit me appropriately, non-traditional students, because I can tell you there wasn't a high school teacher that I had that would call me a traditional student.
Or lifelong learners is another one, right?
Yeah.
So this is WTBR-FM, and Bill Sturgeon's our guest here on Morning Drive. We're going to take that top-of-the-hour break that we always do and do our station ID and thank our underwriters and such. So we'll do that right now, Bill, and we'll be right back after this.
Stay tuned.
Morning Drive. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR-FM.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. 89.7 WTBR-FM Pittsfield.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
PCTV Select is now available on so many platforms. You can get it with any device you have available, all free to download and use. If you're watching at home, use your Roku, Amazon, Fire TV, or Apple TV device, or even your computer, and see programming in full HD quality. Watching on the go? Download PCTV Select from the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store for your smartphone. It's that easy and free. PCTV Select is everywhere you need to be.
Join us at the Pittsfield Farmers Market. Meet your local farmers, artisans, friends, and neighbors. Enjoy the bounty of the Berkshires at a market that's accessible to all shoppers. With live music, chef demos, and family-friendly activities, the Pittsfield Farmers Market is more than a place to shop. Join us each Saturday, May 10th through October 11th, from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Pittsfield Common.
Larry Kratka here on WTBR, and I want to tell you about my show, Sweet Country Music. Now, every Sunday morning from 11 a.m. until noon, I'll play some of the best classic country artists like Merle Haggard, Dolly Parton, Johnny Cash, Patsy Cline, and many more. I'll play nothing before 2008. Please join me Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. for the next edition of Sweet Country Music here on 89.7 WTBR-FM for the love of radio.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Mass. Retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms, customized solutions available. Online at sundrini.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back, WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
Welcome back to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio, and 88.1 WSBR in Lee. This is Morning Drive, and we're happy to have you here this morning. Already Thursday, November 6th, post-election already, almost Thanksgiving, all these things that are coming.
And we got a fundraiser coming
and
up.
Of course, if Thanksgiving's coming, the other thing that's coming
is
the WTBR-FM Radiothon.
That's
and that
right.
is the all-day, one day, only one day fundraiser. Not a whole week, not 2 weeks.
No, not every other week.
We don't interrupt all the programming all the time. Just one day, one day. And that is something where we have had just a tremendous amount of support from people. And we're so happy that we've got this great group of listeners that also step forward and say, and we'd like to contribute and keep the programming running. That is, to me, the most rewarding thing possible, to know that that feedback come back to us and say, yes, and we will support this. That's what I would love to hear more of.
So. And you emphasized the point, and I'd like to, if I may, reemphasize it. The people you see on air, not Sean, but that aren't staff here, are all volunteers.
Absolutely are.
I know there was a person who didn't care for me. Can't believe that. and had it spread all over everything in mass communication that I was being paid under the table by the school department. Mm. Well, I've looked under the table, and there's been nothing there. So, but I think that's a tribute to the station. It's a tribute to the staff who encourage volunteers to come.
Yeah.
So if you want to help.
A station like this couldn't exist without it.
Absolutely not. If you want to help this station, and I tell this all the time to people, I don't care if it's a buck. If that's what you can afford, thank you.
Yeah.
And because I raise money for the veterans stuff too, you know, some people say, oh, I'd like to give $20, but on my Social Security and it ain't going up. So but please, if you can help, and the amount is insignificant. What's significant to us is you contributed.
So the Radiothon is on Thursday, November 20th. So the way you can remember that is the Thursday before Thanksgiving.
That's
so
right.
Nice and easy to remember. And it's going to be all day that day, Thursday, November 20th, 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. So anytime that you listen to WTBR during that day, you can, you know, donate. You can get your name in for many of the drawings that we have.
Yeah.
We've got a lot of local businesses that support us by giving us things that will incentivize you to give us a donation, which is wonderful because that's their way of supporting. We have wonderful sponsors that are sponsoring an entire hour of the Radiothon. I think we've got half of the sponsors right now that we want for that day. So if your business is listening right now and you'd like to sponsor an hour, it's very affordable. I won't put a price out there, but I'll just say that that will certainly show your support for the station. So please, we encourage that. But the main thing is today, you know, we're just talking about the Radiothon on the air right now. The Rock Box is what we call it. Maybe we borrowed a term somewhere and twisted it a little bit, but it's called the Rock
Box. Plagiarism is the best form of
flattery. That's right. Absolutely correct. But that's our way, and that Rock Box is open right now. It is on WTBRFM.com, WTBRFM.com. You can go there right now and click on the big guitar. There's a big guitar on the website. Click that, and that will allow you to make your donation. And any of the Rock Box donations that are made now, all the way up until the Radiothon itself, all those will be processed and dropped into the drawings as well. You won't be missing out on that. Your name will be in the process for getting some of the hourly and the day end big drawing. So, you know, so any donation of any kind puts you in that running.
And it tells us too that you appreciate it, and it tells all the people who volunteer their time.
Mm.
And I will tell you, I don't care what show you watch here. There's preparation time. You know, as I told someone who was talked about running for city council, and they may happen to make the mistake of saying, well, it's only a couple hours a week on every other week, and then maybe an hour during the week, and I'm thinking, and you're running for ward counselor.
They don't understand how much work is involved. It's a lot. And granted, you know, I'm glad that anyone tunes in and watches a city council meeting or a school committee meeting, because that means that they're engaged.
They
maybe
the community.
Have an issue that they want to know how that goes through.
Yep.
They learn a few things, I think, when they watch those meetings, because there is a process. But a lot of that, and it's sort of like the duck swimming on the water, a lot of the work is being done under the surface. And
that's
I don't mean out of people's view. It just means that it's in committees.
Right.
And it's working with the city departments, and it's working with state representatives and everything else that goes on in order to then bring all that information to the city council meeting or to a school committee meeting, all that homework essentially that has to happen.
And tremendous
amount of work. So, you know, granted, give all good vibes to the people who won these races, and your work is ahead of you for sure.
Yeah. And Jimmy McCaffrey, God rest his soul, he's left me with a lot of city council things. First one, he said, you know, it took me a year to find out where the restroom was in the city hall. Then the other thing, but it's when you stop and think about the amount of work that you never see that a city councilor does, preparing for it. Now, I'm not saying through the years every city councilor prepared, but I'm saying that in the past several years, they come in prepared.
There was a packet recently, and you know those are published on the city's website, the agenda packet.
You can't print it out.
The agenda itself is only two pages, right? It's, you know, the first page, the second page, and then all the backup documentation for all the items on the agenda. And if anyone has never seen that, I invite you to go on to the city's website and click and read one. There was one a few weeks ago that was 900 and something pages.
I remember that. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's crazy. So, I mean, are you able to read 900 pages before a city council meeting every 2 weeks? I don't know. That's pretty tough. But you have to at least know what's going on and know what you're voting for.
I know some of them set aside like Sunday afternoon and early evening to prepare.
Yeah.
So it's fresh and they're, and I don't want to mention names. Others do it during Saturday.
Yeah,
and some split it up. It comes out on Friday, right? I believe
Thursday.
Thursday, yeah. So they start, Well, it is a second job, and I don't think it's unfair to say that.
Let's not forget constituent calls.
Oh,
because
because
that is a major, major amount of time that an elected official will put in. I happen to have some experience knowing what a ward counselor goes through.
Yes, you do.
And so I'm sure that the at-large counselors are similar in terms of what they have to do and the calls that they take and the responses they have to make, the site visits that they have to make.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes it's more than one. I think about, you know, the Pontoosic Lake Park, for example.
Yeah.
Even the Conservation Commission, which are appointed, and the Parks Commission, which are appointed. Those folks put in a ton of time. And they're
They do.
They're not elected. They're appointed.
That's right.
Put in tons of time to do something like that. And when an issue like that comes up, where, you know, one side says, well, we need more access to fish here. And the other side says, well, you know, the banks are eroding and, you know, that has to be repaired or whatever. Somehow they have to come to a resolution. They have to come to something that everyone can handle and that will be also good for the lake and good for people.
Yeah.
So, you know, I give them a lot of credit.
There's
a lot
of work
that goes
free.
Into it. And of course, those commissioners do it for free.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the great work of the city departments trying to navigate all of that and do what's best. You know, they're...
I have to say that not to interrupt.
Take my hat off to them.
Oh, I don't want to be obnoxious, but you know, Commissioner Morales gets up in front of the people, the powers to be. So, how much sand are you know? We got to buy this. We got to buy. Now they want them to be Nostradamus and be able to predict how much snow we're going to get or ice or what. Last year we got more ice than snow.
Right.
So we had a So I just would.
And Commissioner Morales is probably overdue for an appearance here on Morning Drive. He does visit us several times a year.
Yes,
and we
he
talk
does.
About different issues, everything from dam removal to bridge repair to road
which
repair.
Which is a major
to,
deal, that dam removal on Wakona Street.
Oh, it is, and Bel Air Dam. And it's right in the swing of things now.
Yeah.
I just drove by it the other day.
We did too, I used to walk across that footbridge every night that I dated my wife, and several other, because that was the link.
Yeah.
So I wanted a piece of it, but they said no.
It's probably contaminated with something. So
well, they said for the that best. They said the sludge was.
Mm.
But what you're saying is it's getting the word out to people the best way we can, and doing it with so many entertaining and informative. With so many volunteers.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, I know I repeat myself, but when you get to be my age, you can repeat yourself. And Sean's going to show me where I parked the car because I forgot. But we really expanded the station to what it is today. And I still think with the leadership here, Sean particularly, and all the people who work here, this is... The future is yet to be written.
I'd say that's a really good way to put it. You never know. And, you know, I think we've put it on course to be a real, you know, important service for the community. And as much as radio is sort of long in the tooth, if you will, it's been around for 100 years, but it's still here and it still serves people. It still does, you know, nobody's sitting around the radio like the 1930s
looking at the radio.
Yeah, no, we're not doing that anymore, but it's certainly serving a major purpose. And we do appreciate our listeners. And that one day, the Radiothon on Thursday, the 20th of November, coming up. 1 week before Thanksgiving, that's your chance to show your support for this station and to help us keep it on the air. We do have some very real costs. I say it every year, but it's absolutely true. You know, to keep a radio station on the air, you have to maintain things.
Yeah.
Everything in this studio has to be maintained, and things, the audio board I'm working on is still working after 30 years. We've maintained it. Someday we will replace it, and that will take a chunk of money for sure.
Oh, sure.
But keeping... the transmitter running takes electricity and rent, and you know, there's a connection that needs to be made, and that costs money, and you know, licensing for streaming and things like that costs money. Everything does, and actually, having WTBR here housed at PCTV helps in some way because there's some synergy between the two. But if this radio station wasn't part now of PCTV, it would be a major struggle to keep, right? I mean, we would be tooth and nail single day. And,
if we didn't have Anthony, Anthony Lepore is our attorney pro bono. That is Latin for free, loosely translated.
For the good, right?
For the good.
Yeah.
But God bless Anthony. I mean, really, he stumbled upon us, or we stumbled upon him. And without his guidance, we imagine what an entertainment lawyer must cost.
Yeah, absolutely. Invaluable, really. And there's so much, again, that's even something that most people probably wouldn't even think about when they tune in the radio, is that that's necessary. But
the filings. Tell them filings you have to do to have this little teeny radio
that's
station.
Right. Any entity that is regulated by the FCC requires quarterly filings of issues and programs, and then the annual transfer of control and EEOC filings and all kinds of stuff. And believe me, if you don't do those things, the FCC will catch up with you and you will soon be off the air. So we don't want to do that. We want to make sure that we cross all the T's and dot all the I's, and that's what we do. I just want to mention also the passing of Ellen Speer that was just announced a couple days ago. And she was someone, again, very special to this radio station. When we had first taken it over, we reached out to her for her expertise in public radio and in fundraising and the radiothon, the first one that we did. She was just instrumental to us in helping us get those messages out and sort of the pacing of the radiothon. And then she was also this year doing some morning drive interviews, which were wonderful. She did some really nice interviews right here in the studio. She also did a radio broadcast of the 4th of July parade.
Yeah.
And she did our Halloween, co-hosted our Halloween parade. So just a tremendous loss for PCTV, WTBR, and of course, the community for all the other things that she had done for Hancock Shaker Village, for the Norman Rockwell Museum, for the Berkshire Eagle. She was a really bright light. That's kind of the way I would describe Ellen, and anyone who knew her understood
that. She was so committed to this community, too. Yeah.
Yep, yep.
And, I tell people, and I mean this sincerely, you may not be happy with the way the presidential elections come out or the local elections or whatever, but it's over.
Mm-hmm.
Pick up your backpack and start hiking again, because life's too short to waste it angry.
Mm.
Ever since I've been on the radio, I had this philosophy, and I've had some people show up. I've had some interviews. But anyhow, we can disagree, but I refuse to let anyone be disagreeable on the radio.
Mm.
And when I used to do a call-in show, which was a serious error, sometimes I would have to cut people off because I'm not going to let people be mean to people.
Mm.
You come on my show, you're going to be treated fairly and respectfully.
Mm-hmm.
And I've tried to maintain that through the years. And there's people, and I've said this before, there's people I probably wouldn't go have a coffee with, but they have a right to be on the show because they are part of our community.
Mm-hmm.
And I have an obligation to treat them with respect.
Yeah. Well, and that goes back to what we just did with the election coverage. And again, bring up the fact that you had every single candidate.
Yep.
We offered every single candidate a half-hour slot just to come on your show and talk about issues, introduce themselves to the community if people hadn't seen them before, or talk about their platform, talk about the issues that they find important in the campaign. That was a really great public service. It was a big thing to pull together. A lot of people don't realize how much extra work it takes to do that. But it was a very concentrated period of time, right? Pretty much all of October, if you tuned into Morning Drive, you were going to hear candidates talking about the election. And so again, that is something that you're supporting when you're supporting this radio station. When we've got the Radiothon coming up in a couple weeks and the Rock Box being open
what
right now.
What day is that again
that
for the Radiothon?
Thursday, November 20th, from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m.
We've been practicing that for 3 days, folks.
But that is the kind of thing you're supporting. And it does take an effort. It doesn't just happen.
Exactly.
It does take some thought, and you say, well, shouldn't we offer this as a public service? You know, the PCTV side of it, obviously the candidate statements where
right.
we offer the candidates the 5 minutes, and you say, you know, say whatever you want in the five minutes, then it goes into the program and people watch it. The debates this year,
I
think we were the only ones conducting debates.
Yeah.
Usually there's a handful of other organizations that will that will do them, and we'll cover some. There were none this year other than the ones that we put together, so that may have been the only opportunity for voters
to see. I think you're exactly right.
And then, of course, the election night coverage, and I will say that is a, you know, talk about controlled chaos, where you've got, you know, results from 14 precincts with X number of candidates each.
Especially this year with all the candidates.
Yeah, all flooding into our studio. We've got Dave Cachet, who's... you know, on the air, hosting the program, and talk about, you know, sort of the lion tamer, you know, just sort of making sure everything's working right. And we got a bunch of people behind the scenes making it work. This year, I will say that as we got to the end of the broadcast, we did not have the accurate numbers for the sixth and seventh place school committee. And those emerged after we went off the air. We corrected the numbers, and we made statements on Facebook.
Yeah.
Those things happen when you're in
live.
Sort of live television. And the other option, of course, is to do what print media always does, which is wait until the numbers are done and then print the next morning.
Right.
We don't have that luxury as TV or radio broadcasters. People are looking for that information, you know, as it comes out. So we did our best.
I think they did a great job.
We had I think, one number wrong, and that changed that outcome. We corrected it, and you know, we regret the error, but that is what happens.
And Dave, in fairness, Dave continually said, mm-hmm. these are unofficial numbers.
Correct.
These are unofficial results. So,
and that's exactly why.
And because
those numbers, and believe me, there are
fluid.
So many ways that the numbers can change. From place to place.
Yeah, they're so fluid. There's so many possibilities for error.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But it's a good service, and I'll tell you what, that was the only thing that that was changed. Everything else was pretty much dead on. We got all the at-large and all the other races pretty... There were not really any very, very close races. Probably the closest one that we saw was the at-large race between number 4 and number 5.
Yeah.
I believe it was Kathy Amuso and Sarah Hathaway were only 39 votes away. And, you know, that's a citywide race, so 39 votes is a very, very narrow margin. I mean, that could have gone either way.
And I thought Earl and Pete
White,
they were always close, like two
very
or three
close.
Votes, you know.
Yeah, very close.
Yeah, but I think what those reelected counselors and, Dan, should say is the people have faith in you. Make sure you live up to it, and not that you don't, but sometimes there's a tendency because you don't like a particular thing.
Mm.
But is it good for the city? Now I'll give my friend Chris Connell, who was a counselor, and there was somebody in one of the wards with a tag sale situation that was permanent, kind of. And they wanted to make a really heavy rule, ordinance. And Chris said, we have a problem in one ward, not in the city.
Mm.
Why would we do that? But the ward counselor wanted it citywide,
sure.
So they weren't singled out.
Yeah.
But
that's their job, right? The legislation, the ordinances.
Absolutely. And I just say, when you're doing it, think of the peeps.
Mm-hmm.
Think of the people who put you there. How will that help them, or would that hurt them?
Yeah. And, of course, this last council had to deal with a couple of ordinances proposed by the mayor that were quite controversial, and one of them is still unresolved.
It has
not been. It's still, I think, at the health board level. So that I don't know if that'll be resolved during this council or whether that'll be a carryover to next year, where a new council will come in and deal with that?
The only thing I would say with both school committee and council, unless it's an emergency and has to be resolved now, the public has spoken.
Yeah, they certainly have. And the election just happened, and that's the foundation of democracy, I'll say, is local elections, the things that affect you directly the most. So those are the ones really, you know, we put out a post about the turnout, the voter turnout in Pittsfield, and some of those numbers were pretty low. You know, I think there was one precinct that was at 6% voter turnout, which is extremely low. I mean, that's just a couple hundred people came out, whereas... there was some neighborhood, I think it was 23% was the highest. Now, granted, this was an off-year election. Yeah. This was a non-mayor election, so there's sometimes less interest in coming out to vote if it's only the council and the school committee. They've been talking about maybe changing a charter for that. I don't know if that'll happen. But, you know, I was actually surprised to see some of the voter turnout in the 20s. Yeah. That seemed high to me for what we were expecting. Wouldn't it be great, though, of course, if you had at least 50% for all elections, that everybody was engaged and involved and took the time, 5 minutes, to go up to your polling place and, you know, pull the lever, fill in the little dot. It's all it takes.
Well, Bill, we're
running out of time here, and I just want to make sure that we get a chance to talk about Veterans Day.
Veterans Day will be the 11th of November, and it's for all people who served in the service. Memorial Day is for those who've given their lives.
Yep.
Veterans Day is for all who have served. There'll be the little parade. Also, I would also strongly encourage folks, if you see a veteran or someone wearing a hat or patch or whatever, to thank them for their service. It's my good friend Jim Clark, who served a lot longer in the military than I did. But we used to say in interviews, the military isn't a job. The military is a way of life. Mm. And for some reason, once you go through that, pieces of it live with you forever. Mm. And so if you
It doesn't
see,
matter how long you served, right?
Oh,
it doesn't matter
what
time you served in or what war or what peacetime.
It's a peace or you were there. Mm-hmm. The saying is you put your name on a dotted line. Mm. That meant you could give up your life.
Yeah.
And there it is. And I strongly encourage, right now my plans is to have a special Veterans Day show. And we'll be recording it today at 4 o'clock. Mm. So, but please tune in and enjoy Veterans Day if you have it as a holiday.
Yeah.
And
if you have a chance to come out, the ceremony is at Veterans Park there, just off of South Street. And I think that is either a 10 or 11. Tell me, do you know what time it is?
I believe, off the top of my head, I think it's the parade is at 9.
Yeah.
I think. And probably around 10-ish.
Yeah.
But it'll be in the Eagle.
Check the listings. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'll get all the facts. Yeah,
and thanks to our great operations manager, Dave Cachet, here, who has recorded and shot live
every
Veterans Day parade and every Memorial Day parade and service. You will be able to see that on the channels of PCTV and on Facebook and on PCTV Select, so you can watch it there. But, you know, there's nothing like going out to the ceremony, standing
to show
there
the people.
And really get a feel for to what it's about and show the support that you have. I would recommend that.
Yeah, and Sean, thanks for all that you do for this station and the team. The team here, I've worked with a lot of wonderful teams, but when something, a major thing needs to be done, everybody's pulling the wagon in the same direction.
We do that. And this is your community radio station, WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Bill Sturgeon, thanks for being here this morning.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Take care. And we will see you all again tomorrow. Take care.